We did the old hymns with very modern, in very modern settings, because what I want to do with these hymns is I want the next generation to be able to listen to them and enjoy them and come to love them just as the last generation did.
Their titles are a roll call of old familiar hymns. The lyrics and melodies tie us to the past, but the musical styles bridge them to the present. Wes Putnam will tell us about his newly released CD album as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Wesley Putnam, an interesting interview with the recording artist himself, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. A happy old song is dressed up in new garb as Wesley Putnam sings, I'll Fly Away.
Let's fly, buddy.
Let's come down and turn to the Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Priorities. It is written by Jane Thurber Smith of Nova Scotia, Canada. Jane writes, starting the day with God puts the rest of the day in a new perspective. The scripture reference is Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Recently, I signed up for access to the internet. My sister, who lives in another province, coaxed me into it, saying how easy it would be to keep in touch with each other. It did not take long to get completely hooked on email. Each morning we would get our coffee, log on to the network, and catch up on each other's activities. I looked forward to communicating with her every day through this mode. Then I realized that unfortunately I was allowing morning time with my sister to take priority over my morning time with God. God spoke in my heart, "Why don't you and I have that kind of communication? Why not look forward to your time with me, talking to me and listening to me?" Suddenly I realized that I have the potential for communing with the greatest being in the universe through prayer and reading scripture. How could I allow emailing my sister to take priority over that? Now I have it straight. I communicate with God first and then my sister. Communicating with my sister has become sweeter and happier, just as the rest of my day has, since I started speaking to God first. May we pray. Dear God, help us treasure the time we spend with you in prayer and never miss an opportunity to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time.
We're delighted on Methodist Hour today to have with us a recording artist, a marvelous singer and keyboard artist. His name is Wes Putnam, and he hails from Texas, right, Wes?
That's absolutely right.
Yes, in the Dallas area?
Yes.
Yes, and you do a fabulous job leading singing at large events, Christian events. You've just led the singing at the National Congress on Evangelism, and you have your keyboard up there, and
yes,
words on a gigantic screen, and it's just wonderful what you do.
It's easy to do that when people want to sing, isn't
it? Oh, listen, you get a group of Christian preachers and evangelists together, and you get singing, don't you?
I mean.
It's great. You've just come up with a great idea. For years, I've been a lover of the hymns, and
yes,
you've done something with the hymns which is novel, and yeah, I commend you for it. Tell us about it.
Well, we're just finishing up the project. It's a hymn project that's going to have 14 different hymns on it. And they're all some of the old favorites, like The Old Rugged Cross and Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Yes.
And Victory in Jesus.
Yes.
And How I Love Jesus. Just wonderful old standard hymns. But one of the things that I have realized lately is that a lot of the churches are losing the theology of the old hymns.
And it's great theology.
It's great theology. And the reason they're losing it is because they're concentrating solely on the new choruses.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with the new choruses.
I love those
they're
praise
wonderful
songs. Yes.
But I thought, you know, what if we could put new clothes on the old hymns?
Yes, dress them up.
Just dress them up.
Contemporary music.
And so we started doing the I brought in some of the best musicians I could find.
Yes.
And we did the old hymns with very modern settings, because what I want to do with these hymns is I want the next generation to be able to listen to them and enjoy them and come to love them just as the last generation did.
Yes. Yes.
Because the truths are timeless that are there.
And you've dressed them up. You're using the same tunes.
Yes.
But new harmonies.
Yeah.
Modern harmonies.
Well, the harmonies even are very similar, but what we've done is we've just changed the chord progressions and the rhythms.
Yes.
And just given them a little different feel. Sometimes we even changed the time signature where it was in 3-4 in the hymnal. We moved it to 4-4 and given it just a whole different feel.
Yes.
You still recognize it as the same hymn. The words are still there, and the melody is still very recognizable.
Yes.
But it has a wholly different feel to it as
yes,
you hear it.
It does. Very contemporary sound.
Makes you tap your toes.
And you brought in you even brought in some really great jazz musicians
to do
the chords and
goodness,
the accompaniment
yes,
for you.
Yeah.
And so you've recorded this in a studio there near Dallas.
Yes.
And it's going to be available now on CD, right?
Yes, it'll be available on CD. And I haven't decided whether I'm going to put it on cassette yet or not, but it'll be for sure on CD.
Yes.
And it'll be available, I'm not sure 6 weeks from January. So
yes.
We'll say that.
Well, in the middle of February or first of March. Now, will it be in Christian bookstores available in the...
We're going to have to work and see if we can get a distribution deal to make that possible. At this point, it'll be available through our website, www.wesleyputnam.org.
All right.
Or by calling 800-530-4949.
All right. Thank you for that information. Now, the Putnam is spelled P-U-T-N-A-M, Wesley Putnam. Give us that email address or that website again.
It's wesleyputnam.org.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, you know, Wes, this would make a wonderful gift for parents to give to their teenagers.
Yeah.
Or grandparents to give to their older children who grew up with this more contemporary harmony and so forth.
Right.
And so I believe in the message of the old hymns. The words are so beautiful, and the theology is biblical and inspiring. So you're giving them that, but dressed up in a setting that is very appealing musically.
That's what we pray.
I love that. Yeah. Well, Wes, you're a wonderful musician. You're a fabulous musician, and we appreciate you very much. Now, you are an ordained United Methodist Evangelist.
That's correct.
And one of the leaders of the National Association of United Methodist Evangelists. So we appreciate you very much, Wes, and may God bless you, and I pray that this new album will really be distributed widely and prosper in people in every way.
Well, thank you, Whit. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
And now here's another favorite hymn from Wesley Putnam's album. The name of the album, by the way, is Ageless Worship.
More love to thee, more
That was Wesley Putnam singing from his new CD album, Ageless Worship. You may reach Wesley at wesleyputnam.org. Today's message is entitled, A Call to Trust. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax booth. He said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and with his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Amen. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, I do not know when I learned that Matthew was a tax collector, but except for knowing that the Apostle Peter was a big fisherman, I think I've known that Matthew was a tax collector for as long as I can remember. And I'm not sure why, but I've really never given much thought about what it was like being a tax collector in Matthew's day. I do know that taxes or collecting taxes is never a popular subject. Our lesson today is about Matthew's call to discipleship. It was a very simple call. Jesus said, "Matthew, come follow me." Matthew got up from his tax office and followed Jesus. Now, I want to think about with you the background on this call. Although the scripture does not specifically say, we can easily assume that Matthew knew who Jesus was. The name of Jesus was already being stirred around in the political circles and someone really to be watched. And taxes and politics seem to always go together. Now, I can tell you that Matthew's position as a tax collector was either one for which he volunteered or for which he made a bid to purchase. Now, as an appointed tax collector, Matthew had the right to collect taxes, at least one specific tax in the region for which he was responsible. Now, here's the reason tax collectors were so widely hated and despised. You see, the Jewish people were already heavily taxed by the Roman government. A farmer, for example, had to give one-tenth of his grain crop and one-fifth of his fruit crop. Every man had to pay an income tax of at least 1%. Every person from age 14 to age 65 was required to pay a poll tax. Now, in addition to these stated taxes, there were all kinds of extra taxes. For example, there were taxes on imported and exported goods. There was usually a tax on entering a marketplace or crossing a bridge. If one had a pack animal, it would be taxed. Now, this is only a partial list of the things for which people were taxed. I mean, it was incredible. Tax collectors, like Matthew then, were really hated, but they had very secure jobs. The governor who appointed the tax collector gave a specific quota for the tax that was needed from that particular region. Now, here was the deal. Any additional tax that was collected belonged to the tax collector. Since these special taxes in particular were not even published, the collector could charge what he or she wanted. Well, excuse me, it was always a he. Wealthy persons were often known to bribe, you see, the tax collectors to lower their taxes. They might pay him a lump sum. Well, so here's a man who has a business collecting taxes. He could set his own rates, and if someone did not pay, he could call in the Roman army to enforce the tax. Matthew really was hated, but he was wealthy. He was powerful and very influential. Jesus called him. Matthew knew that when he walked out of that tax office, he was walking away from his security. And he's walking into a life that had no security. That is, no security except eternal security. Well, did you notice that Jesus called Matthew right out of his workplace? He did not give Matthew a test or even find out if he had been baptized or what temple he was attending. It is my belief that Jesus knew that Matthew was claiming his faith in God. And he did that when he left all of his earthly security to follow him. That was his sign. That was a sign to Jesus. Something changed Matthew's attitude about what was important in his life. Matthew knew what Jesus was teaching. He knew that in Jesus, people were more important than things. Now, keep in mind that Matthew knew the Jewish law, and he was a Jew. According to our lesson, the first thing that happened after Matthew began to follow Jesus was a dinner party. At that dinner party, there were other tax collectors and sinners, and they were all listening to Jesus' words. And it was the Pharisees who were there who immediately began to ask questions. Remember, the Pharisees were the ones who made sure that everyone kept the Jewish religious laws? Well, whatever happened to Matthew, we know for sure that it changed his life. We also know that he began to help others find what he had found. Now, I found more about how a person's faith in God was reflected by how they lived their lives in any other way. Not by what they say, but what they do. When someone begins to trust God, it makes a dramatic influence on their attitude about life and about those around them. I'll never forget a few years ago, I met Allie in England. Well, his real name is Alistair, but he says, just call me Allie. Allie was a building contractor. He's a great big guy, had a big noisy truck, and he just looked like what one might think as a building contractor to look. But anyway, when he met Christ, something really happened in his life. His life was fairly well secured by his ability and his trade. I mean, he was a good contractor. But he said, the more I learned about Christ, the more I wanted to learn. Allie was about 30 years old then, and he told me that one day he discovered that he had such a burden for young people who were from poverty areas. It just seemed to well up inside him. He had volunteered in numerous churches working with youth, but his sense of compassion is just so remarkable. Now, I was with Allie just a couple of years ago, and he told me that he was leaving to go to work with youth in a very poor and tough part of England. Most of these kids, he said, are not only poor, but basically abandoned. They live on the streets. They're homeless. And my first job, he said, will be to win their trust. Then he told me this. He said, I'm going to live in the streets with them. He said, I've seen where they live. They live in cardboard boxes and under bridges, and I won't be able to take any money with me, and I'll just have to live in a box like them and do what they do. And I'll be hungry, I know. I don't know if it'll work, he said, but I don't know how else to get close to them enough to tell them about Christ. Pray for me, he said. I am really afraid. That's important, folks, to understand that his commitment was so strong he would do it, but he had anxiety about it, but he still responded. Now, I can tell you I would really be afraid. I'd probably be scared to death. Imagine going to a major city and living outside in a cardboard box located in the highest crime rate in your country. Now, I can't tell you why a person would do that, except I do know that when a person accepts Jesus Christ into their lives, it changes what's most important to them. I remember Helen. Helen is an emergency room nurse. Her specialty is a very highly paid profession in her country. She's 28 years old. She's probably 33 or 34 now. But Helen also lives in England. She owns her own home, and life for her seemed very secure. She worked so hard to get so good at her profession, and she really loves her work. Several years ago, her faith in Christ caused her to rethink her values and where she was headed with her life. Helen learned about the plight of families who lived in the coal mining towns in England. She told me that she was leaving her work in the city hospital, and she was leaving her home and all the things that she had to go to live in a mining town for at least a year, maybe two. She said there were 9 mines operating in this little community until 2 years ago. Because of the new regulations, 7 of the mines are closed, and they'll be shut down within the next year. One or more will be closed in less than 2 years, and then they'll fall off one by one. But then she said, Brother Wolf, there is so much poverty and hopelessness. I asked her, are you going to start a clinic? I began to think of her coming in as a professional, and she said, oh, no. She said, I'm just going to live with the people there, and I will work for free in their churches, and I want to get to know them and help them regain their trust in God. She said, I can't imagine anything worse than having no hope in your life. Can you? Well, friends, neither Allie nor Helen have any specialized training for what they're doing right now. But they do have enormous faith in God, and their faith gave them the courage to leave what they were doing and follow what they believed Christ was calling them to do. By the way, Matthew left all that security, but did you realize that Matthew got to write a chapter in the most important book in all of history? It makes me wonder what would happen if you and I could learn to trust God with everything we have, like Matthew did. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
John Wolfe, we thank you for that message. John, give us your further word.
Thank you, Brother Witt. You know, Whit, when I reflect on what Allie and Helen did, it's frightening to me almost. But I know there are many stories, you and I know stories of people who have done similar things, and the influence that they have on other lives is so incredible. And the truth is that God doesn't always call us to leave what we're doing. But really, it's the change of our attitude. It's giving us a new sense of what's really important. I mean, very few people have to leave what they're doing. Most of them just take a new perspective, and all of a sudden they see things they've never seen before. God needs business people. He needs doctors and nurses and teachers and moms and dads and housewives and teenagers and young people. I mean, he just needs everybody to do what they do, but do it from a Christian perspective. Isn't that the truth, Whit?
Yes, it is, John. And your stories of Allie and Helen illustrate a great truth. What we really believe about God, our faith in God, is demonstrated not so much by what we say, but how we live, the way we express our faith. Dear friend, dear listener, give your life to Christ and then demonstrate the reality of your faith by living a life of sacrificial love, loving God and demonstrating that by loving people, sacrificially living for God and for His kingdom and His glory. The world needs that demonstration of genuine faith, and God will use you and make you a blessing when you live that way, demonstrating your faith by love for people in Christ's name.
Whit, before we close, I'm going to share one more thing with our listeners. You know, in these days as we celebrate the 4th of July, I realize that it is not just a one-day celebration, but actually an everyday that we can celebrate and be thankful. You and I are able to celebrate because of what our forefathers sacrificed their lives to give to us. You know, and I'm also aware that every day there are people out there who risk their lives to make it safe for the rest of us. Our military, our police, our first responders, medical personnel, teachers, missionaries, and actually more persons than we know. You know, the condominium that collapsed in Miami last week is an incredible example of the core values we hold as human beings. People across the world are praying and are even sending help. Seeing those men and women risking their own lives trying to rescue persons from under the rubble, well, it says more than words can express about the depth of our humanness. Too often we allow our religious differences, our version of politics, or some personal gain to get in the way of who we really are. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said the most important thing for us to do was to love each other as He loved us? And He actually gave His life to show us what He meant. When I look at the images of those men and women in Miami risking their lives for others, it so blots out the stock market or politics or personal gain. I just hold my breath hoping that another person will be found alive. I have a hunch that that is just how Jesus feels about you and me. Thank you today for being with us. Our website is methodisthourinternational.com. You can call or text me direct, 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. The Lord be with you. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.